Well, as we mentioned earlier, this is the end of the Easter season, the season of resurrection glory. And we finish with such a wonderful exclamation point, don't we? Finish with a bang. It's not happenstance. It's very fitting that we end this season with Pentecost. Since the sending of the Holy Spirit is the final piece, it's the culmination of the Paschal mystery. It kind of brings it all together, in a sense. Leading up to Easter Sunday, of course, we have the passion and death of Jesus as we near the end of Holy Week. Then the glorious resurrection, his victory over sin and death. 40 days later, he ascends to the Father gloriously, bringing our human nature with him, bringing our redeemed human nature with him. We celebrated that just last Sunday. And then, at last, after 50 days, the Father and the Son send the very love that unites them to be our primary guide on the earthly pilgrimage of life. This is really marvelous. And this love that they send, this is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the bond between Father and Son. And the Lord gives us all of these wonderful gifts. We can see the most elements of this beautiful progression, this holy progression, playing out in today's gospel passage. The risen and victorious Christ appears to the disciples in the upper room. This is on the evening now. He rose, of course, in the night, in the early hours of the morning. This is in the evening of Easter Sunday. And yet, he still has the wounds. He shows them the wounds, right? Which they thought to be signs of victory, of defeat, or defeat rather. But now, these are badges of his victory. These are fountains of his glory. We can see these fountains right here. The blood and the water pouring out. That is our lifeblood. That is the water that nurtures us. The fear of the disciples, it says they're fearful of the Jews, right? They're huddling together. The doors are barricaded. They're scared because the Jews just killed Jesus. This fear is now replaced with peace and joy. As they recognize the Lord, they see his wounds, they realize that he is risen. The death didn't get the last laugh. And then Christ says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. The very same mission that the Father gave him, he's now entrusting to his disciples. It comes down to us to this very day. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And then he breathes the Holy Spirit on them. Such a beautiful and intimate act. We don't breathe on too many people, right? You don't go around breathing on people. You'd be locked up, right? But these are his best friends. He breathes the Holy Spirit on them. Receive the Holy Spirit so that you can forgive sins. So that he gives them the power to do what only God can do. Forgive sins. It's through God's power, of course. It's so beautiful to see how all of these mysteries are linked together. It's not happenstance. It's not like some early pope was just kind of bored and had too much wine and was throwing darts at a dartboard and said, oh, let's put the Pentecost here and then, you know, all the passion over here and maybe put the ascension in between. That'd be kind of cool, right? No, this is all of these mysteries. It's a holy progression flowing straight from the heart of the Holy Trinity. And it's all gift for us, brothers and sisters. But now as we get back to the gospel text, you might be thinking, well, wait a minute here now. So Jesus gives them the Holy Spirit, but this isn't Pentecost. Oh, it's still Easter Sunday, right? It's not 50 days later. So wait a minute, what's going on here? One way to look at it is that the disciples simply couldn't handle the Spirit in full at this point. They weren't ready. But Jesus knew that they needed to receive enough of the Spirit to overcome their fears and to realize what had truly happened, the victory that he had won. Not defeat on the cross, victory through the resurrection. And then, after 50 more days of preparation and formation, they're finally ready. The time has come. And this is precisely where today's first reading picks up, at the very moment where the Spirit bursts forth in full. How beautiful it is. And guess where Mary and the disciples are gathered? In the upper room, where the Last Supper took place, where today's gospel passage takes place, where Pentecost takes place. those of us that have been blessed to go to the Holy Land, it's pretty amazing to be in that space and to imagine what happened, these various different events. So yes, they're back in the upper room. They're praying and anticipating this great moment as Christ commanded them to do right before he ascended into heaven. I quote now from the first reading. "And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them." Imagine this, what's going on here. The very power of God coming down out of heaven. This is the power that created something out of nothing. There was no earth, then boom, God spoke and there was earth. This is that power, otherworldly power, bursting forth, filling this whole house. Tongues of fire coming down and resting on them. The very fire of God's love coming to rest on them. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues." All these different languages, but first and foremost, they're speaking the language of self-emptying love that Jesus proclaims on the cross so beautifully, so eloquently. What a tremendous experience. Can you imagine what that would have been like to be in that room? And what was the result? Because we can kind of say, oh, that was kind of cool, awesome, you know, great. Do you think it was just kind of like God gave them a warm fuzzy, you know, and they're like, thanks, God, we were kind of fearful and we needed a pat on the back? I don't think so. What about maybe they were like, oh, wow, that was pretty cool, high fives, you know, let's grab a beer, we better celebrate this. Not quite, not even close, actually. What's the result? Complete transformation of these people. Complete transformation. We see it immediately after this happens, and we see it all throughout the Acts of the Apostles. The disciples no longer have any inkling of fear. They are confident and unafraid to proclaim the good news. Peter goes out immediately after this. Peter goes out and he preaches to the Jews that killed Jesus just a few weeks earlier, fearlessly. 3,000 of them were converted right there, right in the street, that moment. This is the same Peter, the same impetuous Peter that we see elsewhere. He's not afraid anymore. And in today we see they're even speaking in different tongues. Probably tongues that they aren't even familiar to them. Maybe they're speaking in Chinese or something. They never heard Chinese before or some other language. But they're going out and preaching the good news. And yes, as we continue to read through Acts, there's many mind-boggling, miraculous wonders that are worked through these first disciples, but far more common are the simple and more mundane acts of evangelization that we don't hear about. That's the bedrock, brothers and sisters. That's how the faith eventually spread throughout the whole world. There were these instances, these amazing events, but those weren't happening every time, every day, everywhere they went. But these simple acts were taking place, building up the body of Christ from among all peoples, building it up through simple, yet beautiful and convincing Christian witness in day-to-day life. Just like you and I have the opportunity to do all day, every day. And they must have been, even though they were simple, they must have been convincing. How else would Christianity have spread throughout the whole world, right? And all of this was and still is guided by the Holy Spirit. As St. Paul emphasizes in today's second reading, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Only by the promptings of the Holy Spirit can we receive from him. Can we even realize who Jesus is, that he is Lord, and then open up our hearts and lips to proclaim the good news. He leads, he initiates, and we follow. Or not. We have the choice, but he always initiates, always seeking to draw us deeper into loving relationship with him. We must remember, though, that this is not an individual endeavor. It's not just me and my personal relationship with Jesus, or me and my buddy, the Holy Spirit. For as Paul says, in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, a body with many parts that fit together into a whole that is far greater than the mere sum of its parts. Because of God, because of his grace, because he unifies us into this beautiful whole. And the Holy Spirit is that unifying factor that brings it all together. Back to Paul's words. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. Different forms of service, but the same Lord. different workings, but the same God that produces all of them in everyone. Different workings that he's calling all of us to carry out in and through his grace. Different gifts that he's given each of us to manifest in this world. Different forms of service for each and every one of us according to our vocation. But it's all the same Lord. It all is meant to build up the same mystical body of Christ. Note as well that the Spirit unifies us in the truth, which is eternal, not in fleeting worldly notions. That's very important because he doesn't give us a license to do whatever we want, as some people may claim. I've heard people say things like, oh yeah, well, the Spirit kind of blew me this direction. You're like, well, that directly contradicts the Ten Commandments or maybe something that Christ, oh, but the Spirit told me. That's not true. I don't know if you've heard these kinds of things, but I've heard people say these things to me. The Spirit unites us in truth, brothers and sisters. He doesn't give us a license to do whatever. That's falsehood. Now, how do we know if we're following the Lord? How do we know if we're allowing the Holy Spirit to inebriate us? Well, we just flip to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. And this is where Paul outlines the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love is the first and most important one. And we're not talking about lovey-dovey kind of emotional love that we see out in the world so often today. Oh, I love this, and then tomorrow I don't. We're talking about this love, total self-emptying love. That's what Paul means. That's the fruit of Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit when he's talking about love. Love, peace, the peace beyond all understanding that only comes from the Lord, which leads to the joy, the very joy of the Holy Trinity. The first three there. Then patience, kindness, generosity. How about patience? That's a tough one, isn't it? It's tough for me, probably for some of you too. Then the last three, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Love and self-control are the two bookends that he gives us. Self-control is a tough one, but we're meant to tame our passions so that we seek to do the Lord's will, not our own will. So these are the nine fruits. If we see these fruits in our lives, then we know that we're walking with the Lord faithfully. Now today's responsorial, it's an excerpt from the great Psalm 104. I highly encourage you to check it out. It's so full of the Holy Spirit. The excerpt today powerfully illustrates the Spirit's crucial role in all of this that we're discussing. Now the psalmist is speaking to the Lord here. If you take away their breath, they perish and return to their dust. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created and you renew the face of the earth. So there's a compare and contrast here. And when we walk with the Lord, when we're open to him, he sends forth the Spirit, we receive it, and then we are created, we're recreated all the more to the saints he created us to be, and he renews the face of the earth through us. He doesn't carry out this renewal over there, like I'm a spectator watching it happen. It's through us, brothers and sisters. Renew the earth, the whole universe. He wants to renew it through us. This is amazing. But we can choose the alternative. Right? And that's what happens when he's saying you take away their breath. Well, we're not breathing in the breath. And so we wither and we die. Jesus says in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. We got to stay connected to the vine. Otherwise, we don't have the nourishment, right? We wither up and we die. Same thing with respect to the Holy Spirit here. Through the Paschal mystery, God wants to first renew us as individuals and then send us out to renew the world with his grace. But we have to remember that clearly this can only happen through the Spirit, not through human initiative or ingenuity. And now as we seek to end this homily, to pull it all together, let us invoke the power of the Holy Spirit, and not just today, but every day. God wants every day to be a Pentecost for us, not just once a year. And so I submit this simple prayer to you as a help to unleash the power of the Holy Spirit within you, within me. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Help me to wholeheartedly welcome your fire and your power, allowing you to renew my soul so that you can renew the face of the earth through me.